Well, today we are continuing our series as we finish up the book of Ephesians. We're finishing up the book of Ephesians, and we're finishing it by going through our series on spiritual warfare. As we've been talking about in the past weeks, we are in a spiritual battle. And you know, I have to keep shocking myself awake to that reality, because I get caught so much in life, in busyness, in children, in a pregnant wife. All that entails planning our future. But do I realize? Do I walk daily in that awareness that we're in a spiritual battle? There's an enemy after us, and we need to be aware if we're going to fight and stand against him through the power of God. So we need to be prepared for it. How do we win this battle? How do we stand against the devil? And as Paul said in Ephesians 6, he says that we have power and strength in God for this spiritual battle. But then what does he continue to say in Ephesians? He goes, God has given you the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we've been talking about the different armor of God. Are you wearing the armor of God today? Does anyone remember the two pieces of armor that we have talked about so far? Maybe we should do a weekly test. Maybe I should pick on Joy right now. Don't worry, Joy, I won't. I want to, but I won't. What were the last two pieces of armor that you remember we've talked about? Anybody? The first, what? Huh? Breastplate, okay. The breastplate of righteousness. What was the first thing? The belt of truth. Now, okay, here's the next question. What is the belt of truth? How do we know what truth is? The Bible. First, we talked about the belt of truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth. But then Jesus said, my word is truth. So it's the word of God. So we talked about the belt of truth. Okay, the breastplate of righteousness. Who's our righteousness? Can you live a righteous life?
Not without God.
Not without God. Jesus is our righteousness, right? So those are the two pieces of armor that we've been looking at. So now we're going to look at another piece of armor this morning. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in Ephesians 6:15. And Paul writes to us and says, "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Today we are going to talk about shoes. Let me look at your guys' shoes. You know, some people have cool shoes, some don't. Some have shoes that they wore for the last 20 years. Shoes. We're going to be talking about shoes today. Shoes that protect your feet and help you stand securely. I don't know about you, but I like to go barefooted. Is there any barefooted people here? Now, it hurts more than it did 20 years ago. I'll go down to the mailbox and I'll go in my bare feet. I'll go in my backyard and grab stuff. I'll go out there and play with, whatever, go out with Bingley, whatever. I like to go barefooted. I'd rather, if I could go to store barefoot, I probably would do it. But have you ever walked barefooted and stepped on something? Oh, that hurts. When you hit that rock right in the right spot of your foot, and then you're kind of limping. You're like, man, why didn't I wear something? But then you like to go barefooted. You don't do that? Oh, man. I remember when we just bought a house in September last year, and we were living off Tierney, just close to here, about 5 minutes away. And I remember going out, and I was either going out on the porch to let Bingley out, or I was cooking something on the grill outside. And I remember stepping on that porch, and I got a big sliver right up in the bottom of my foot. And so, I go, ow, ow. And I look it up, and I pluck it out. Well, it broke in my foot. And it went way deep. And I remember, you know, I have a scalpel I bought from some gun show I went. You know, this like little medical place. Oh, this is cool, scalpel. My dad always had a scalpel to get out our slivers. And so I was sitting there, I was trying to pick at it, but it was just in a place I couldn't, you know, I'm not flexible anymore. So I was like, ugh, I was trying to do it. So I had my wife try to get it. She's digging out. And my feet, because I go barefooted, are really thick. They're hardened. They aren't like they used to as a kid, not as sturdy. But she's trying to pick. We couldn't get it out. And so I limped around for about 2 weeks. It's still in there. Well, I think my body built up something around it, and it's fine. But I was like, ow, it hurt. And I'm like, man, I hope I don't have to go to the doctor to get the stupid sliver out. And so I still have a sliver in my foot because I like to go barefoot. I'm a barefooted type person. Now, my wife, she has baby butt skin, and there's no way she walks barefooted, okay? But shoes, most of us still have to wear shoes. We wear shoes to protect our feet. And there's all types of different shoes that we wear. Ladies, here's a question. If you go to the gym, are you going to wear your high heel shoes?
No.
Why not?
Because they
hurt your feet, right? You don't do that. Now, maybe my wife should learn from you ladies. My wife and I, when we go on dates, my wife likes to dress up. I'd rather dress like nothing, t-shirt, go out. But my wife's like, oh, we're going on a date. You aren't wearing that, are you? Which means you're changing, aren't you? So we'll get dressed up a little more so we can go out away from the kids for the night. And my wife will wear her expensive shoes that she saved up the money, you know, she bought. And we'll go out and we'll have a great meal and we feel like rejuvenated to go for a walk along downtown or by the lake or whatever. And we get walking and we take a block or so and she goes, oh, I can't go much further, honey. My feet hurt. And I don't know how many times she's done that. I look at her and go, you know we're going on a date and we get motivated to go for a walk and talk or whatever. But she starts limping. Her shoes look good, but they're not necessarily comfortable. Does anyone ever experience that, ladies? You have a shoe that looks really good? I remember my wife, I don't get my wife birthday presents anymore. I give her a chunk of money to get clothing. That's the best birthday gift I could give my wife. And there's been times where she would take that chunk of money and spend it all on one pair of shoes. I'm like, what, you spend that much for a pair of shoes? But she looks at me and goes, but they look good. Right? So we wear a different type of shoes for what we want to do, and maybe we don't and we should wear a certain type of shoes. As a soldier in the battle, the type of shoes that a soldier wears are important. You just think of a soldier. If you see those different movies, right, where the soldiers are going through, can you imagine a soldier climbing over things, walking through the ditches, over the different obstacles in their bare feet? It does not work. He would not last very long. They need to protect their feet. In war, there's obstacles. There's fallen horses. There's other warriors. There's other armor. In the day of, you know, the Roman time, just imagine going into battle and all these dead soldiers, and you're going over and you're stepping in these areas, and you need protection on your feet to be able to be a successful and victorious warrior. I remember, I, talking about shoes and having protection, I buy boots for my work. My heating and air conditioning, I have to buy good boots. I learned earlier on that if I go out and I buy even a $30 to an $80 pair of shoes, they will last my type of work probably 3 months. So I have to go out, I've learned that I have to go out and cough up the $140, $160. If I do that, they will last for about a year if I do it right. Because neel-toed shoes, they work good, they're comfortable, and they last. But I remember one time, I bought the pair of shoes just like the one I went through. And it was a little different though. Exact same shoe, but in the back, it had a little piece of leather. Okay, maybe that's just an upgrade to the shoe. Well, I threw that shoe on. Within a couple days, I'm limping. Ow, man, that hurts right back here. And I started getting almost like a blister. I'm thinking, man, it's been a long time. Wore boots before that take like a month to get, you know, when I was younger, that take a while to build, you know, get used to. Man, it hurt. It got so bad, I ended up taking them back. I took them back. He said I could swap out the boots. I went and find the exact same pair of other boots that were the same one, did not have that piece of leather in it. For some reason, I wonder if it was damaged and they fixed it by putting a piece of leather. I put that shoe on and I instantly felt so good because that little piece of leather was bothering me. In a similar way with a soldier, when he goes into battle, he needs something that's maybe at least somewhat comfortable. He can't go miles and miles hiking in these sandals or these boots without hurting himself. He needs shoes so he can focus on the battle. Because when he's in the battle, he's fighting a warrior. He's moving back and forth. He has to be limber. He doesn't need to think about his feet. They need to be ready for whatever he faces. So as Christians, we are to put on this valuable piece of God's armor. As it says in verse 15 again, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. How? How? The readiness given by the gospel of peace. As a soldier in the army of God, we are called to protect and proclaim the gospel. Listen to that. We are to protect and proclaim the gospel. But before we can truly do this, we need to understand what the gospel means. When you hear the word gospel, what comes to your mind? Huh? Good news. Good news. But we'll be back to the good news in just a minute. But how do we know what the gospel is? First, what's this armor right here? Of truth. So we first to understand what the gospel truly means by being the good news, we need to go to the word of God to tell us what the gospel is. And Paul simply lays out the foundation of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to look it up, it's up to you, but I'll be reading it. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, when Paul describes the foundation of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1 to verse 4. Listen to this. What does God's word say about the gospel? And Paul says, now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose from the dead on the third day. This is the good news of the gospel. But to first really understand the good news, maybe we need to reverse it a little bit and think of the bad news. What is the bad news in Scripture so that we will receive the good news? The bad news is this. As we talked about Adam and Eve weeks ago, the bad news is this. Because of Adam eating that fruit and disobeying the word of God not to, sin spread to all people. The bad news, sin came into the world. Romans 5:12 says this. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. When Adam sinned, we now all sin. The intimate relationship with God was broken. Bad news. The relationship with God was broken. not only for Adam and Eve, but it spread to all men that the relationship with God, boom, broken. The bad news. Secondly, the bad news is this. We were separated from God because of sin. We are addicts of sin. We can't stop it. When we try to, we fail. When we try to live a righteous life, we fail. God's word tells us to be holy. We fail. We're spiritual lost junkies because of sin. Before Christ, the bad You know what else is bad news? We became an enemy of God. We had a relationship with God. It was broken because of sin. But Paul says this, that we became an hostile enemy of the creator of the world. We see that in Romans 5:10 when he says, we were enemies of God, but now we are this. That's bad news. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I don't want God being coming against me. And there are people who will die being enemies of God and will face that judgment. The bad news. Before we can receive the good news, we need to know the bad news. The bad news, we are enemies of God. Our relationship with God was broken because of sin. And Paul described in Ephesians 2, listen to the bad news. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Bad news. You're dead. You always sin. Another bad news. We were sons of disobedience. Bad news. We were followers of the devil. Was that good news? Bad news. We were captive to sin. Bad news. We were children of wrath. Bad news. Well, I don't know. I don't know about you. I don't like to hear bad news. Do you? What's the good news of the gospel? Now, I want to read. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Just turn it back a couple pages if you stayed in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 10. You guys, I want you guys to get this. We need to understand the gospel. Paul says in Galatians 1 that there will be people that come and proclaim another gospel that's not the true gospel. Do you today believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ? This is important. This lays the foundation of your life. If you believe the false gospel, you maybe call yourself a Christian, but you're not a real Christian because you're believing something that's false. So please, when we read this and we talk about the true gospel, do you believe, do I believe in the true gospel, the life-changing gospel that will change me? Or do I believe in the gospel that has no power because it's a false gospel? Listen to the good news. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 10. Let me just read this to you. But God... Here's the good news. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he may show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Because we were sin, we were enemies of God, we were lost, we were sons of disobedience, what happened? But God... God's love stepped in. Jesus came and died for our sins and was buried and rose from the dead. The gospel, the good news. The good news is this: Jesus died on our behalf. I should have died on the cross for my sins. But Jesus goes, no, I will die for you. I will be a substitutional atonement. I will come and atone for your sin before God. I will come and pay the price for you. That's the good news. Why he loved me. That's the good news. If God did not love me, I'm doomed. He died and was buried for 3 days. It seemed that Jesus lost the battle. But what happened on the third day? The tomb, the stone was rolled away. Jesus rose from the dead, showing that he has the power over sin and death. And because he has the power of sin and death, when we place our faith in him for salvation, when we place our faith in him to change our life, he has the power to do it. Why? Because he showed he had the power to raise from the dead, and he overcame sin and death. And he can do that in us. How many of you guys love UK? Anybody, raise your hand. UK supports you. How many U of L? Do you guys get excited when your team wins?
Yes.
Are we excited when we hear the gospel?
Yes.
Awesome. God loved me and died for me. We hear it over and over, don't we? And it becomes common. Don't we need to say, God? One prayer I love Livia brought from school she learned was this. When you pray over your meal, thank you, Jesus, for sending your son to die for me. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in him, we become a new creation. Something. How many of you need something new in your life? I don't think the gospel, the work of the gospel, is done at one point. It's like never, it stops. The effects of the gospel stop there. It will affect us the rest of our life. If we want things new in our life, keep looking at the gospel. For Jesus is our Savior, sanctifier, healer, and coming King. He's everything. The gospel is the beginning. And it keeps flowing the power through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can now have a relationship with God. Some of you guys knew Eric Evans. Remember when he shared, he was really focused on how sometimes when the gospel is preached, we don't preach that we lost a relationship with God. And now we can of the gospel. A relationship was lost, a relationship was gained. The good news, having a relationship with God of the universe. The good news. But you know, one part of the gospel I think that's also forgotten is the gospel, part of the gospel is the surrender of the gospel to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you place your faith in Jesus, you're taking the white flag of surrender. You're saying, I surrender. I give my allegiance to your lordship in my life. My money, my time, my everything. There's people in the church today, and we all struggle with not doing that at times. People in the church today want to be saved from hell. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to surrender to what he wants for their lives. I'd say they're missing part of the gospel, because it says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Is he your Lord? Or do you believe today in the true gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel taught, we see in the belt of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe in it? Because the devil wants to distort the gospel. He whispers into our ear, he says, just try to be a good person. You know, I've asked the youth. Well, okay, let me ask you, just answer it in your mind. If you came and died today, you're going out to church, Joey turns onto the road, bam, a diesel truck comes up, boom, she's gone. Boom, she's right before God. And let's make the picture like people, I don't know why they think this, but let's make it a little like people think, you appear before the pearly gates. God is there, and he looks at you and he says, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And I remember asking the youth, and this is the response I got. Well, I tried to live a good life. I try to help people. I go to church. When people answer that, they don't fully understand the true gospel. It doesn't matter when you come before God how much money you gave to the poor. It doesn't matter how much you tried to be good, or even if you went to church. The first life-changing thing would have been, first life-changing thing, I gave myself and believed in Jesus Christ. So, you know, if I came before the pearly gates and that question was asked of me, I can't say, I'm worthy, I lived a good life. Oh, sure, I've done some good things. I'd have to look at him and go, only thing I could say is, I believed in Jesus. He alone is the key to get us into heaven. Do you today believe in the true gospel? If you haven't, it's coming to the place of your life saying, I believe that he was died for me. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose from the dead. And I give him my life. The white flag of surrender. Do you believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Because when we believe in the gospel, we put on the first, that's the first step. We put on the shoes. And now, you're, as a soldier with the shoes, you are called to protect and defend the gospel. When you go out there, out of this church today, you're going to meet people in the stores that are opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They do not believe in it. They try, they may say, I believe in Jesus, he was a good, moral man, but they don't believe in the power of the gospel. They don't believe the Jesus of the Bible. They believe in the Jesus of their own imagination and their own thoughts. Peter said this about defending the gospel. As a soldier, when the line comes and the enemy comes and the devil comes to oppose the gospel, we are to stand. Not run, we are to stand. And when we get to the shields and the other part of the armor, but we stand on our shoes, we stand to defend the gospel. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So in gentleness and respect, not those people that, but you know, Bible banger people, no, not that. With respect and gentleness, we defend the truth of the gospel. There is no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. it's Jesus. We defend the gospel. The second thing we do as believers in Jesus Christ, if we believe the true gospel, is we proclaim the gospel. The gospel is powerful that it can change people's lives. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Are you unashamed defender of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And are you proclaiming it by the way you live and by the things that you do? We are to proclaim the gospel. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. You're not good enough. You're not good enough to tell people about Jesus. Well, if the good news is you can't be good enough except through Jesus, why are you believing the lie that you can't tell people about Jesus? Because you're not good enough. You have the breastplate of righteousness on. Jesus is your righteousness. We all have areas of failure. We all have areas that should make us feel like we're disqualified to tell someone about Jesus. But we're not, because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Yes, we sin and struggle, but we're changing. So we have the right, because we are now children of God. And we can now proclaim the gospel despite how we feel at times about ourselves. So don't listen to the enemy. We need to proclaim the gospel. And as Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore into all the world to proclaim the gospel." If you have the worship team come forward, do you have your gospel shoes on? Do you believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in His power change the lives of others through you as you proclaim the gospel? You guys, the good news, what a perfect day to have communion when we remember the good news of Jesus Christ for us.